Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome into the Garden Hotline on a beautiful September Saturday morning. I'm Scott Jagow. Glad to be joined by a couple of gentlemen who've been here before answering your questions. That is Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers. Guys, welcome back.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Great,
thanks, Scott.
Great sunrise this morning.
I know, and 50-something degrees.
Chilly.
It's really nice.
Like the high desert out there, you know? Got the blue skies, low humidity, and shades of brown.
You know what we haven't had? Rain.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about that, but I want to get the phone number out there so you can call in and get in line here, because we're an at-your-service program, been doing it for more than 3 decades. That's why we're here, to answer your questions. The number to call is 314-436-7900. Again, it's 314-436-7900. So let's talk about this drought situation. How bad is it? We did have a lot of rain earlier in the year, but it's kind of dried up lately, Jeff.
Yeah, it sure has, you know, and it's, you know, feast or famine, as they say, you know, and now we're in the famine. It's very dry out there. Glenn and I were talking. You know, you can look around and there's a lot of cracking even in the ground, you know, where things are dried out that bad. People that are really, really watering a lot, you know, it's tough keeping everything uniformly and perfectly watered. Gosh, you can sure see how well your sprinkler system is doing if you have a sprinkler system, you know, if, you know, good. Certainly see spots that don't get covered and that sort of thing, because it really is. It's very dry. Very, very important right now. Glenn and I and Scott were talking, but the best thing right now, just advice, you know, it doesn't matter if it's grass, beds, trees, you know, everything is water. I mean, water's ruling right now.
And what is the process for doing that? Because I know we've talked previously about overwatering and underwatering, and how do you hit the mark?
Yeah, I know. I talk to people about that all the time, and they're not sure about whether they've got enough or too much. And I'll tell them to try to stick a screwdriver in the ground, particularly on the lawn. And if it enters 3 to 4 inches, you know you got enough moisture. And if it doesn't go that deep, you're not watering enough. And you know, if you do that test close to the street where it's a little hotter, you might need to water an extra 10 minutes to match the same depth in the middle of your yard. So it's not just one test in one spot in the yard, but you got to kind of use common sense and go where the shade is. It'd be a little easier, but if it's hot and sunny, you're going to have to water a little longer to saturate those, keep that soil moisture up.
Yeah. Good advice, Jeff.
If I could add something, you know, a real concern that I have right now is with, and in terms of landscaping, is with, say, people that planted things even like this time last year, you know, because we had a lot of water early in the year and you think that things are doing really well, but you got to remember, you know, maybe they've only been in the ground for a year. So their root zone isn't all fully grown out yet. And, you know, they can dry out really quick. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, real important to slow soak your landscape shrubs, you know, ornamental trees, that kind of thing. You know, the bigger shade trees will be probably all right for a while, you know, but the stuff that's been planted in the last few years would benefit immensely from just a thorough, slow soaking where you just let the hose trickle around that, you know, plant for a while and make sure it's well, you know, really hydrated up. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the phones. The number to call for your question is 314-436-7900. Bill, you're up first on the Garden Hotline.
Ah, okay. Hey, I've got a yard that's in a subdivision that 40 years ago it was like a pasture type ground, and I've got an infestation of a thing called knotweed, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough little low-growing kind of plant that's all over this neighborhood. And I was wondering, do seeds from these kind of weeds, are they viable for multiple years? Like if I were to kill this stuff, is seed from last year going to grow back up right away?
Yep, Bill, you'll probably have knotweed for the rest of your life. If it's that yeah, prevalent. There's no such thing as just one spray and you don't have knotweed again. Weed seeds, I get this a lot, especially from homeowners. There's a lot of perception that maybe lawnmowers move weed seeds. You know, weed seeds got moved a long time, way before lawnmowers were ever invented. So it just all you can do is use selective herbicides. And again, what I profess is the best defense against weeds isn't a bunch of chemicals, it's good thick lawn. So if you mow properly, water properly, and fertilize properly, you'll use less herbicides and have less weed pressure. But when you're surrounded by an infestation of knotweed, you should expect to see that, particularly around the hot edges of your lawn. And selective herbicides can knock that out pretty early. Just spray those weeds early before they get a stranglehold on the lawn, because the bigger they are, the tougher they get, and the woodier tissue is a little harder to kill than the succulent young tissue.
Yeah, it seems like they green up kind of late, you know, late May or so. Yeah. Does mowing higher help the grass more so than the knotweed?
It helps for every weed. There's a direct correlation of mowing height and root depth, and there's a direct correlation of lack of weeds and drought resistance with deeper roots. So there's a very much misperception that everything needs to be mowed every week. You know, in July and August, I mowed my home lawn twice in 60 days. Yeah. I don't have irrigation, and I just let it go dormant. So mowing it high and getting deep roots is the single best cultural practice you can do to improve your stand of grass by doing nothing.
Yeah, I did a little test patch with a 2,4-D kind of amine, I think is the product name, and it does kill the stuff fairly well. I did that about a month ago, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Bill, at 314-436-7900. I'm sure a lot of gardeners love to hear that phrase, doing nothing. I mean, people like gardening, but as Michelle calls herself, she's a lazy gardener. Yep. So doing nothing is often a nice alternative, unless you just really want to get in there and get your hands dirty and get some exercise.
And you can pull knotweed, but I don't not with much success. But yeah, my landscape friends don't like it when I tell people to mow infrequently in the summer, because everybody wants to mow once a week or so, or every 10 days. And I understand that. But what happens is people can't resist the temptation to lower the lawnmower to justify their existence of mowing. And unfortunately, that's the worst thing you could do to a cool season lawn is get rid of the shade that's provided by the leaf blades. And so when the leaf blades are tall, you have a cooler soil and you have a deeper root system. And like I say, you have less evapotranspiration, which is a real word.
Wow. Spell it, Glenn. Spell it.
Yeah. And so, the weather we've had was just, I can't remember a summer like this. And I've been around for a while, and it's, you can't match what the nighttime temperatures were, or
you mean in terms of warmth?
Sure, yeah, and just the humidity and just sucking the moisture out of the ground, and you could have watered every day, and I don't know if you could have matched what Mother Nature was taking out of the soil.
Hmm.
It was just a very unique couple of months.
Evapotranspiration.
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah. Learn something new every time the Garden Hotline is on the air. Mike is going to be up next with our phone calls, and you are after him if you get on the phone right now at 314-436-7900. Glenn and Jeff taking your questions on the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis 104.1 FM, KMOX. Welcome into the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagout. Happy to be joined this week by Jeff Kendall from the Horstman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. They've been here before. They're pros. They can answer just about any question you have at 314-436-7900. As I said before the break, Mike is up next. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, good, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, so I've got an irrigation question as well. I've got a full yard sprinkler system, and shockingly, there's a lot of conflicting information on the internet about watering, I guess, frequency and depth. Is it better to water several times a week a little bit, or just once or twice a week a lot? I've heard, watering a lot or frequently causes shallow roots, but then does it keep it dry between watering if you only put like an inch down one time? I'm just really confused about frequency and how much and how often to water.
Hey, Mike, and Glenn's here, and I subscribe to Glenn's philosophy on this, and I've been doing this on my own yard. I think if you water like 2 days in a row and then give it a rest and then two more, is that's the way to do it. I think that's real important right now, as dry as it is. That way you actually get that upper inch and a half or 2 inches of the soil, in a moist state. Right now you could run the sprinkler for 20 minutes and 3 hours later it's bone dry, So I do think that heavier water and maybe 2 days in a row and then let it kind of air out and dry up a little bit and then hit it again would be the recommended way to go right now.
And again, that's the philosophy for turf. I think shrubs and trees can be a little different. Once a week for 30 or 40 minutes on existing trees and shrubs because their root system's so much deeper. But yeah, that on two, off one, or on two, off two is great to keep it going, but it will change when you do seeding or sod work in the next couple of weeks, like most people should. And that is the one time where you will water every day and maybe even twice a day, because in that type, when you're trying to get establishment, you are just trying to keep the top quarter to half inch moist, and you don't need soaking runs of irrigation at that point. Now you need frequent light runs. And like I said, it'd be every day for 2 or 3 weeks when you seed or sod, and maybe twice a day, again, depending on your slope and water pressure.
Okay, yeah, that's good info. I'd definitely be doing the screwdriver test later today when I get out there. Yeah. But, I've been watering. Each station runs about 20, 25 minutes, and I've been doing it essentially every other day, four times a week. For years, it's about 12-year-old system, and that's kind of been the pattern. But I don't love the way my yard looks. Sometimes it looks dry, and sometimes, whatever. Yeah. But okay, well, I'll give that a try. That might be a different approach to it. We'll see how it goes.
Do it on two and off one, and you're still kind of doing it every other day. But instead of letting it dry out completely in between waterings, that second watering gets a lot deeper than the first watering, in my opinion.
Okay. Noted. All right. Well, hey, thank you. Yep. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for calling in, Mike. Good question. 314-436-7900 to ask your question of Glenn and Jeff. Up next, we say hello to Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you explain the difference between moles and voles and how to get rid of them?
Well, the moles are carnivorous, so they eat meat. Voles are vegetarians, so they eat tree roots. Their size is totally different. A mole might be 4 or 5 inches and a couple of ounces, and a vole would resemble more of a mouse-like structure. And so to get rid of them is a daunting accomplishment, because they're just the source of where they come from. If you don't get that, you're going to get them repeated in the yard. So trapping moles or poisoning them is a good way to get rid of them in your yard. And voles are the same way. There's a product, an active ingredient called zinc phosphate that is labeled for the control of voles. But moles, in my opinion, I profess using traps. I think you don't have to guess whether the poisons are working. There's proof right there at the end of the trap. But they love a water or a wood source because they're eating worms somewhere. And what enters your yard aren't mom and dad, but the babies. And so, you know, to say you get rid of them, you just kind of temporarily suppress them and then get ready to reapply whatever you've done, because they reoccur quite often.
Yeah, I would say, Glenn, now, you know, right now, if you got active mole issues, that tells you you're probably watering.
You're watering
well,
right, 'cause they're deep. You know, yeah, moles right. are deep as heck, because the worms are deep right now. So, yeah.
So moles are a good sign that you're watering well? Is that what you just said?
Well, they're actually a good sign of healthy soil. You know, and that's why when people say, talk about using grub controls to get rid of moles, there's nothing further from the truth, because they're eating worms, and they will eat a grub if they're there. But anybody that tells you, let me use a grub control to get rid of your moles, is they don't have your best interests at heart, because that's not the truth.
Well, thank you, Sandy. You have any follow-up question?
Do they look the same?
No, well, they're going to be characteristic. They look like varmints, but the voles are much smaller than a mole. Like I say, a mole will be at least 4 or 6 inches long, but the voles are like mice. They're only a couple of inches long, and they have little tails, and they look same, but they're the size is just different.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Sandy. Good luck, Sandy. And triggering the topic, as always, of moles and voles. One of our favorites throughout the year. My prediction is 6 more calls about moles and voles this next 2 hours. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers are here answering your questions at 314-436-7900. You mentioned lawns and renovation, so this is the time of year to do that, Glenn?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that window is opening, and it's perfect to do the first couple of weeks of September all the way into the month of September and into October. What happens later, though, is our leaves become our enemy, and leaves in some way are already becoming our enemy because there's early leaf drop because of the drought. But the mistake that I see commonly made is people will renovate their lawn, and there'll be little 1-inch baby seeds in the lawn, and then they'll chop up their leaves, and there's too many leaves for the ground to absorb, and they smother their investment in the seed. So the longer you wait, the more competition you have from leaves, whether they're your leaves or your neighbor's leaves. And when you do a late seeding, it just forces you to either blow the leaves first or accumulate them and bag them with your lawnmower. But it doesn't let you chop them up and return them to the soil, because you'll smother your new seed too much. But no, that window is right now is great, and the only enemy we have is water. We just got to get some water. You got an irrigation system to be successful.
Right. So the drought is causing leaves to fall early, which means you got to get on your game early.
Yep.
With the lawn renovation, right?
Absolutely. I had a guy called yesterday or Thursday and said, hey, you know anybody that will aerate my yard? And I told him, well, you waited till April 14th and asked me for a good accountant for tax season.
Yeah.
So these people are busy. And I talked to Jeff about that. His company is actually willing to take on some customers still.
Sure.
But I know quite a few of my guys are telling me, you know, don't give my name and number out anymore. I can't get to anybody else because everybody's just loaded up already. So the earlier to plan, the earlier you have success. Well, like a lot of things.
Yeah. And Jeff, this time of year also, in addition to lawn renovation, planting, what are we planting now?
Sure. You know, Scott, so like immediately or you know, the things you can do right now, a lot of people are you know, maybe thinking about mums and fall pansies and kales and things for a little color enhancement. Although, you know, the issue with that is if you've been taking good care of your annuals, you know, they still look good right now. So it's kind of a risk-reward thing. You know, do I want to take those out now to replace them with mums, you know, or pansies? So pansies, though, remember, they'll give you color deeper into the fall, you know, so you can wait a little bit and make sure you do that when the soil's still warm, you know, and they get rooted in, but then they'll give you some enjoyment through, you know, really into the wintertime, and they may even come back next spring, you know, so something to think about. But yeah, we're heading really into the prime time for shrub and ornamental tree planting. You know, that's coming up here in October, November, and maybe even early December. Again, I think the dry weather, you know, is probably going to have some effects on nurseries, you know, digging trees. You know, that's something to think about. And I know a lot of stuff is shipped in from other areas that may not be experiencing the same dry conditions. So I'm not really sure how that's panning out yet, but it could be maybe a little later season for new arrivals for local grown ornamental trees and shade trees and things.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a good time. And if you can get the plant and you're able to water it, you know, get it in the ground, get it rooted. You know, plants actually grow good roots in the fall until the soil gets really cool. So it's great time to be doing that.
Okay, let's continue with the phone calls after a break. The number to call to ask your question of Jeff and Glenn is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. You're listening to 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Glad to have you in on this gorgeous September Saturday morning. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from the Horseman Brothers are here to answer your questions. The number to call in to ask yours is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. And we say hello to Jean up next. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. I have a new black gum planted earlier this spring, and it's picture-perfect shape. But I've noticed on several of the leaves and other black gums in the area that there are these tan spots on the leaves, and then they just kind of leave the skeleton of the leaf when they completely dry out. I'm wondering, do I have a problem? Or I was watering it with a trickle, like the person who planted it told me, you know, don't overwater, just trickle the watering process 3 or 4 times a week. So tell me I'm not going to lose my tree.
Hey, Jean, I think the good news is you're probably not going to, you know, lose a tree unless it's like doing that all over the tree, you know, but we're all actually, we're getting to the point now where the black gum's probably already set its buds for next year. And, you know, you're right. The main thing right now would be, like we were talking earlier, just deep water it like once or twice a week at the most. That's just let it get it really good and wet. And that will be really important for it heading into winter, you know, that we
want. It's not a disease.
Though. Well, so without seeing what you have, I actually thought when you called, you were going to talk about little spots just on the leaves, you know, because the black gum is kind of prone to actually getting some bacterial spots they can get and a few little fungus things. But neither one of those is normally a big problem. So it's actually a very hardy tree, and it's not prone to a lot of problems. And you're right. They're beautifully shaped and should give you excellent fall color, you know. So it's a great tree. I've used it for years. I love them. So.
Yeah, I think she said you just plant it. That first year in the ground is always the most difficult for the tree because it's adapting from where it was to where it is now. So give it time. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, when I would water it with the trickle, I would let that happen like an hour and a half at a time, you know, hour, and just very slowly do that like 3 times a week.
Well, the three times a week might be one too many, but anyway, it wouldn't take for a newly planted one. It wouldn't take that long. So just, you know, 15, 20 minutes at the most, okay. You know. If it's more like standing there with a moderate flow, you might want to take 2-3 minutes, you know, just to really get it saturated. But that's it. And like we've said before on the show, you can put your hand down in there around the under the mulch or whatever you got around it and see how damp it really is. You know, realize that the roots are right there. You know, they haven't grown out that much, you know. So that's the zone to be looking at as far as how moist it is.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Gene.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for the question, Gene. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. And we have Scott coming on next. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I'm wondering what might cause impatient flowers to disappear. It seems like my flowers were eaten.
Deer.
That's the long answer. Deer.
Yeah, deer, rabbits. There's a lot of things that could be doing that. Could even be an insect, some kind of larger, you know, beetle or something, or caterpillar or something if you have a problem, but maybe you'd see those. But
so they're not melting into the ground, Scott. They look like they're actually being chewed off.
You still there? Oh, we lost him.
Okay.
If he calls back, we'll put him back on. Does it matter? I mean, it doesn't matter what's eating your plants. Like a bad sign if it's this versus that, or it doesn't matter.
No, I jumped on that because you know deer will they love eating impatiens, and so do rabbits. You know, so it just kind of depends what area in he might have a problem with one of those two. Two animals, you know, but like Glenn was saying, you know, that you can melt them out too. There could be too much, too little water. There could be problems besides the animals.
Well, let's get some more information. Scott's back on the line. Scott, you're on again. Did you want to add?
It seems to me that there seems like they're being eaten. And in the past we were told that it could be slugs. And we used to put like little tins of beer down to get the slugs, but we don't drink beer anymore.
What a waste of beer.
Sorry to hear that. No, you know, Scott, that could, I mean, we were just continuing the conversation. There are other things besides the deer and the rabbits. So I did, you know, there could be a slug's actually not even an insect. It's actually a mollusk. But it, anyway, that could be part of the problem. Where do you live? I mean, do you have deer pressure, or do you have a lot of rabbits in the neighborhood? What do you got?
I'm in Bevo.
Okay, Bevo. So you probably don't have a deer running around, you know. So it could maybe it is maybe it is a slug. You know, it could be.
Yeah, probably more rabbits. That'd be more, more realistic.
We have a lot of urban rabbits in the sink.
That's true.
I agree with that. There is a something you can spray on flowers. It's a sheep fat extract.
And
Sheep fat.
Sheep fat.
And okay. So it's not as...
Say that 10 times.
Yeah. It doesn't smell as bad as like the liquid fence or the products that have a bad odor, you know, the seaweed and the fish emulsion. Cayenne pepper sprays. People have reported to me that the sheep fat extract product is actually showing pretty good promise with shrubs and flowers from preventing deers and rabbits from eating them.
I do remember from yesteryear, you know, a slug bait product, you know, used to be on the shelf at garden centers, that kind of thing. You know, I never tried it myself, but there probably is something out there.
I've always associated slugs more with hostas, and
yeah. You
know, that's where the beer tins around the base of hostas. But the eating of anything from slugs would be a slow, slow process. They're not going to come in and do scorched earth like rabbits and deer can. So,
hey, where the flowers have disappeared, is it a sharp, clean cut like they're where they're missing? If it is, it's probably the rabbits. Yeah. But, you know, that's a good indicator for the rabbits. They'll actually look like like somebody pruned them. You know, like
they will.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Scott, and asking your question of Glenn and Jeff. Eric is up next. The number is 314-436-7900. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Eric.
We belong to a small fishing club that has a swim hole area, and it's got a hill that leads down to it, and there's a lot of runoff, and so we've done a good job of trying to terrace it. We have some 6x6 lumber pieces there to kind of slow it down, but I was thinking about, I think it's pretty dry, and I was wondering if a clover or some sort of other grass that we could seed in the area that, just let nature water it, but hopefully it'll slow the water down. What are your guys' thoughts on something we could do for that slope?
Well, I think your clover idea is a wonderful idea. One, you won't have to mow it, and two, it'll provide some pollinators, some flowers. And if you could get that established, I think now is a really good time to plant clover. I know a lot of my deer hunting friends are planting their crops or their deer plots with clover. So yeah, if you could rough up the soil and plant some clover up there, I think that's a great idea. Are you getting a lot of algae in your fishing spot down there?
It's over in Illinois, and we contracted a great place out of the Peoria area to help us have all that under control through some natural chemicals and whatnot. We're getting some depth back in our lake, so it's working out pretty well. So I think we've got that part in good shape.
Going back to the clover idea, I think that's the best thing you can do. Solve a lot of problems.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. If you have a swimming area and you have bees running around, is that a good combination with kids, or is there a type of clover that is maybe...
No.
Go ahead.
No, you can't. Bees are going to happen no matter what. You can't wrap kids up in bubble wrap. Just, you got to take the good with the bad. I don't think there'll be an overpopulation of bees or attacking the kids. With any luck, they're concentrating their time in the water, not on the hillside with the clover. So I don't think that's
an issue. Actually, just observation, with any kind of plants flowering, that issue comes up a lot, with swimming pools. People are like, Jeff, don't design a bunch of flowers. I don't want bees. I'm like, if for the most part, if they're honeybees anyway, they're busy pollinating the flowers. They could care less about, stinging people, really. So I don't think the bees would be an issue. I did have a thought. There's another shrub you could try if you didn't want to just go through the clover, but the fragrant or grow low sumac is a excellent thing to cover ground on a hillside. It grows easy. It doesn't take much maintenance at all, other than maybe blowing the leaves out of it if you want in the fall. But anyway, that would be a possibility as well.
Okay, and then our white clover, or what should we do, a mix?
Yeah, maybe a mix of red and white, and let the strong survive.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Scott. Did you say grow low sumac? Is that what you said?
Yeah. There's it's a sumac, a Rus family, and anyway, but it's a cultivar, and it stays low, and It's really woody, and like I said, the only drawback to it can collect a lot of leaves, but if that's a, it sounds like a natural area out in on the bank going down to the swimming hole, so maybe that's not even a big issue. There may not even be that many trees right around it either. So, but it does. It's very hardy. Doesn't take a lot of maintenance, a lot of water. It's easy to grow.
When you call into the Garden Hotline, you get some good suggestions. Those are a couple of them there. Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers, Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed answering your questions this morning. And the Garden Hotline number is 314-436-7900. We'll get to Linda coming up next, and then you after that if you have a question on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Glenn and Jeff answering your questions this morning at 314-436-7900. Linda, good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Linda.
I wanted to ask about moving a rose bush. I need to move it from where I have it, and I just planted it this spring. I read something online says you should wait, I guess, until it's dormant, till the leaves drop off. But, I mean, that may be, like, end of October. Would that allow it enough time to get its roots established in the new place before, you know, before it would get really cold? And then... So you don't hang up on me. I want to make a comment, too, about the snails and slug thing on the guy's impatience.
Oh, okay, Linda. Go ahead and make your comment on the...
Oh, okay. Well, I used that bait, that snail and slug bait. It was snails, actually, eating my Gerber daisy. They were first eating the leaves. And then I look at this thing pretty often... And the petals were eaten. Like, instead of them being, you know, sticking out, like, longer, they were back to, like, the center almost. And sure enough, there were snails underneath. They come out at night. And, I mean, you said it may take a while. Maybe you're talking about slugs. But the guy should maybe check for snails. And that bait works excellent. I mean, it kills them immediately. The other thing I read about putting crushed up eggshells. And I used that because I ran out of the bait. So I put the crushed up eggshells. Of course, I eliminated the snails I saw under there. But crushed up eggshells work, too, supposedly.
Hmm. Interesting.
I've also heard of people using sweet gum balls to put around. Right. When a snail crawls over the top of the sweet gum ball, it slices their underbelly and they dry out. And that's a way to naturally control them without using any poisons or baits. But
so,
about a rose.
Hey, Linda, on your rose, how big is that rose right now?
Mm. Oh, it's probably about 2 feet tall. It's a little spindly because I put it in a crowded space. It's about 2 to 3 feet
tall. So if you dig it up now and cut it back a little bit even, cut it back and try to move it, as long as you get a good root ball on it and water it, it'd probably be all right, you know. But it is safe to move them in a dormant state, you know. Like, really, that might be as late as Thanksgiving time or something, you know. And then they just kind of sit there over the winter, really. But they're in the ground and ready to grow in the spring. You know, the other thing is just wait till when in doubt, just wait till March and move it, you know, early in the spring, and it'll probably do perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, I only planted it this spring. So It shouldn't have an enormous.
Yeah, I bet it'll be fine. Like I said, as long as you make sure you got a nice little root ball around it, and maybe go ahead and cut it back a little bit, and it should be fine. Keep it watered.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Thanks for calling Linda. The number is 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Barbara. Good morning, Barbara. You're on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn.
Hi. Hi. Glenn, I have questions about rose bushes also. They're not young ones, but they're not that old. A couple are, but I've never seen such, like, not much foliage content. They're just not as full. And I don't know if it's the weather or if there's, I am trying to water them regularly, but not overwater. But I just don't know if there's any hints on what's going on with the roses these days.
Well, Barbara, could, you know, I don't know if they got skeletonized or eaten up by something during the year. I don't know. But in general, I would tell you, I think you just at this point, wait a little bit, okay, until the like November and cut them way back, or wait till next February and cut them way back. And
which is the time? Is it the fall or next February? Which is the most
either one. It just so they're dormant and before they start really leafing out next spring. That's the main thing.
Then
next year too, I'd follow up with a good, you know, fertilizer, you know, and make sure we do a good job of trying to push new growth on them, you know.
Yeah, they're heavy feeders. Okay. They need a lot of fertilizer.
Yep.
Okay, so do they need, with the weather the way it's been and lack of rain, do I need to water them more often than usual?
I think right now we need to almost let them kind of slow down a little bit, but we don't want them dry in the winter, going into winter. So I would, like we were talking before, I think twice a week thoroughly, they should probably be fine.
Okay.
And then, you know, keep that going as long as it's warm, you know, until, you know, because we don't know how long this dry spell is going to last.
Right. Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thanks, Barbara.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in at 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. We're coming up to the top of the hour where we have a news break. We have several people on the phone right now, and I don't want to give anybody short shrift. We don't have much time, like 30 seconds. So if you want to hang on, we will get to your calls after the news just in a few minutes. So stay with us. The number again is 314-436-7900. Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed here to answer your questions for another hour. Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. It is hour two of the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1 FM. Joining me this hour is Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Horseman.
Oh,
Jeff
don't Kendall. Do that. I'll hear about that Monday.
All right. Well, you're going to hear about it now Monday anyway. Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. That's funny. The number is 314-436-7900. That is to ask your question. It is an at-your-service program that's been around for more than three decades. And we're going to continue the phone calls right now with Elias up first. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I harvested my garlic last month, and I took a head and, you know, take it apart. Can I plant this on November for next year?
Don't answer at once.
I'll have to take the fifth, Elias, on that. I don't really know. I mean, I know, yes, you can plant the bulbs back in the fall to come up for next year. So I'm thinking November would be all right, you know.
Early November.
Yeah.
So I don't have to wait till it cure or just plant it, you know, in November or December.
I didn't understand. Don't have to wait what?
For the cure to dry, you know, a couple of weeks.
I don't know. Good question. I have to do a little research on that.
Yeah, don't wait till December. I can't imagine.
I think, you know, bulbs of any kind are good, you know, when the soil temperature gets down around 50 degrees, you know, that's a good time to start planting bulbs usually. So, I would think, you know, late October, early November would probably be good. Mm.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks for the call, Elias. 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline. And joining us now is Laura. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. I enjoy your show.
Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Laura.
You bet. Regarding, I've got two comments. And one is regarding the lady that asked about watering new trees. I work with the nonprofit Forest Relief of Creve Coeur. And we use a Home Depot bucket and apply 5 gallons of water per week from April to November for the first 3 years after planting. And that's really all trees need to establish a healthy root system.
That sounds like a good plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Using a bucket, you can measure your water. Yeah. And then regarding killing voles and moles. So voles are the favorite food of great horned owls. So when you poison voles and mice, you kill owls. If you leave the voles, you'll attract owls to control their population. And then moles are good for aerating compacted soil, improving drainage, and allowing water to reach plant roots. So they also control grubs, snails, and beetles.
Yeah, so, there's always good with the bad, that's for sure. But also voles make a ton of weeds and make for an unsteady walking area. And people, if you're mowing your own lawn and you don't want to risk getting hurt, you probably don't want to have a lot of mole activity in your yard. So there's no good or right, wrong or right answer. It's personal preference and whether your safety is involved and what you want your lawn to look like, because no one calls in and says, I have a lawn full of moles and it looks great. It's just not what happens. Right. So it's all personal choice.
Right. It's an indication of a healthy environment. And so I think, yeah, we have to respect, you know, that they have a reason to be there. They do control grubs, snails, and beetles. But if it's a hazard, you know, maybe trapping them might be a better option than poison.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
Laura, what's Forest Relief? What is it?
So it's a nonprofit in Creve Coeur. They have a nursery, and you can actually buy trees there. If you go to their website, it's Forest Relief, and we're located all throughout the state. But we're focused here in St. Louis to replant street trees and to help people with educating people about native trees. And there's a community program, too. In my neighborhood, we've planted 30 or 40 native trees along the street to create a continuous tree canopy, a shade canopy. So they're really a good nonprofit.
Yeah, I'm a member of that, actually. I get their newsletters and get their questionnaires and asked to do some monitoring of plants and stuff like that. So it's a great organization.
Yeah, and we go out, like I said, through April through November and water those trees. You know, they need 3 years of continuous watering, and then on the fourth season, they're on their own.
Well, certainly you got this April off, that's for sure.
We did.
Well, thanks for calling in, Laurel. Good to hear about that organization, and I didn't know you were a member of Glenn, so I appreciate that. Yeah. Sounds like good work that those guys are doing. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline, and we say hello now to Brandon. Good morning, Brandon.
Hi. I'm calling because a couple callers ago, actually two in a row, they were about roses. So one of them was asking about transplanting. I've grown over 70 roses here in St. Louis, and I would say transplant them now, and that way the roots actually do get established, because if you wait till dormant, with the ground being frozen, unless it's a really hydrated soil, the cold air is going to freeze the roots, whether they're dormant or not, and you're decreasing the chance of coming back. The second question was about cutting back the roses. And you guys said, yeah, you can cut them back either in the fall or spring. There are once-blooming roses, so you need to know what kind of roses they are, because if they only bloom in the spring or early summer, if you cut them back now or in the spring, you're cutting off the flowers, and you won't have any flowers for next year. If they're modern roses or modern shrub roses that bloom throughout the summer, then you can do it. But you need to know what you have before you just be a blanket, cut them back now statement.
Okay.
Talking about a new rose, too. So, yeah. It's...
Talking about what, sorry?
I think it'll be all right, because that lady talked about she just planted this spring, and it was a compact area, so it's...
I think either choice
is going to work.
I think sometimes you're also looking at just reduction of size. You know, mm-hmm. There's
other, you have a large listening thing, and if you give a blanket statement of cut them back now or cut them back in the spring, if there's people who have roses that bloom once a year, then they follow your directions. They're cutting off their flowers.
Okay.
It's just like if someone called out a lilac or a Father Gila or any other spring hydrangea or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you prune them off once the flower buds are set, then you've pruned off the flower buds.
Yeah, I just need flowers for once a year.
Yeah. So any final comments on that subject? Mm. No,
it depends on why you're trimming it. You know, I mean, I mean, I run into that all the time. You know, my lilac. I'm same thing. You're right. You know, if you cut it, you know, this time of year you're going to be cutting off some buds. But if it's too big and you need to trim it, you may let it go for a year where it doesn't.
You got to take the good with the bad sometimes.
Yeah,
Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. They're the guys answering your questions this morning on the Garden Hotline. And the number to ask yours is 314-436-7900. We'll continue with the phone calls after a short break on 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. It is the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. They're answering your questions as we do every Saturday morning for 2 hours. The number is 314-436-7900, and Ben is up next. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Hey, Ben.
Sure can.
Hey, I have a question. It's about trees. Back in the late 90s, I planted, I believe, 6 ash trees, and then the news about this ash borer came out in the early 2000s, I believe. Now, 4 of them look great, but 2 of them are looking rough, you know, like they don't produce leaves like they used to. Is there anything to combat this borer, if that's what they have?
Yeah, sure. There's plenty of emerald ash borer treatments available, but once they get it, if 2 of those don't look good, you'd have to get an arborist out there to verify it, but my guess is if 2 are looking pretty bad, the other 4 are going to eventually look bad. So get somebody who does that, nothing but that, all day, every day for a living, and you'll get the best advice. And it might just be time to get rid of at least the 2 worse ones, and maybe that'll add life to the other 4, because they might recommend a fertilizer treatment. They might recommend some pruning. They might recommend an emerald ash borer treatment. So the window's wide open for that, but you need to get somebody who does that all day, every day for a living, and then you'll get the best advice, Ben.
Okay, because some of the advice I got from a friend of mine was like, oh, just cut them down. They're going to break your heart. I'm like, no, I want to at least give them a chance.
Did he volunteer to show up with a chainsaw?
No, he did not.
Yeah, Trust your friends, but trust arborists more.
okay. I will comment. Like, I've got clients that, you know, have treated the ash trees for years, and it's not cheap, you know, but it's, to them, it's worth the investment, yeah. And it seems to be working, you know, for them. So you may consider it. You can also tell if your tree really does have the ash borer by looking at the trunk and even up more on the limbs and the canopy as well. But if you have the borers really bad, you're going to see a lot of holes in the bark, and usually they're kind of, they always say D-shaped, like you know, and anyway, so you can kind of tell, and like Glenn was saying, if they've actually got the infestation, it's not a good situation, because they've already eaten their way through the cambrium layer of the tree, and the tree can't conduct water, and that's why the top starts dying, you know. So but if they're clean, or just maybe a few or whatever, then that treatment seems to work really well.
Okay, well, I'll look into that. I really appreciate your time, and
kind of excited. This first time I've ever been on the radio. you guys have a good weekend, and I will look into that because they're my actual babies. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you
good
again.
Luck, Ben.
For your
thanks,
time.
Ben.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Good job. Good question. 314-436-7900 is the number for you to call and ask your question of Jeff and Glenn. Pat is up next. Good morning, Pat. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
I got a question about pre-emergen. I used to put it down in the middle of March, early, and then towards the end of August. And then last year I heard two or three different versions of it. Could you give me your opinion on it?
And you're talking about pre-emergen for your lawn, correct, Pat?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so early March to mid-March isn't bad. It's not great if we have 10 inches of rain in April like we had, and nobody can predict that. There's no pre-emergence that are made to withstand that much moisture in that short of a time. But I'm a fan of waiting till after the first or second cut of the lawn when you do it yourself. When you have companies, sometimes that's not possible. But if you're doing it yourself and you mow twice, clean up the yard, and then maybe make a second application about 6 weeks after the first application, it all comes back to the most important part of any chemical, and that's the label. So you have to read the label and understand how much AI or active ingredient you're putting out. And the label will tell you very specifically for the Midwest what are the best dates and how much of the product you should put out for best results. I'm a guy that likes to do a single application after the first two mowings, and then I do a half-rate application around October 25th to November 1st for my winter annuals, and then I don't have any henbit or
chickweed
in the springtime. So it's all just personal choice, but the most important thing to do is to read your label and make sure you understand how much active ingredient you're putting out for the best results.
Okay. That's what I heard was October, and I thought that was pretty late.
No.
But
that's for your winter annuals, not for your crabgrass in the spring or your secondary crabgrass that might occur in midsummer.
Okay. I got one more question, if you could take it. I got a lot of thatch, and I rethatched my yard here recently. And is there a commercial product that I can put on there to help keep that thatch? I had a lot of thatch, and my lawn's only 2 years old.
Yeah, the best way is just good old-fashioned mechanical removal. You contract with a company or rent a power rake, and every power rake has a depth gauge on it, and if you put that depth gauge to match where the thatch is, maybe a half inch or so into the soil, and run that power rake in a couple directions and then hand rake or remove all the thatch, there's some liquid thatch removers and granular thatch removers, but I don't have a high opinion of those. A good old-fashioned mechanical removal is good exercise. Convince yourself of that before you start.
Got done with it.
Okay,
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Good time of year to do that, Pat.
Thanks for calling in, Pat. The number is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. That is your way to get a question on the air with Jeff and Glenn. Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers, Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. This time of year, we're in September already. Fall's 2 weeks away. So what should people be thinking about in terms of their lawn right now or bushes and flowers?
You know, Scott, I missed part of that. I was working.
Oh, you're daydreaming.
I
was just asking, with fall 2 weeks away, what are some of the, let's say, priorities for people taking care of their lawns, lawn maintenance, and then secondarily, bushes and flowers, taking care of those as we head into fall?
Yeah. So the lawn maintenance, you know, like we've talked a fair amount, but we're in the thick of time to do any lawn renovation work, meaning reseeding. If you need or want to do that, you need to be looking at trying to do that in the next, you know, with the change of the weather, it's hard to say exactly, but before mid-October for sure. Mm-hmm. And probably the sooner the better, you know, really. I mean, especially as long as you can water, you know, like we were saying, it's waters and key. So aeration, seeding, fertilizing for the early fall, remembering to also do fertilizing later in the fall, very important to feed that lawn, you know, before it really goes dormant in the fall. Cleanup obviously will become an issue, taking up the leaves and keeping it clean. You can mow and mulch to some extent, but inevitably, if you got a lot of leaves, you're probably going to have to rake them and clean them up, you know. So those are the main things for the lawn, you know, right now. The beds, going forward, right now, again, water's key, you know, especially like we're saying, just to keep things alive and in a healthy state. But heading into winter, you know, like Glenn was, pre-emergent in the beds is a good idea this time of year, and even a little later, you know, keep those winter weeds from developing, or even some, maybe even some of these late summer things from getting going.
This has been a very weedy summer.
Oh, it is. Weeds have been bad this year. It's one of the worst I really remember in lawns and beds. Yeah, and then, you know, mulch is good in the fall. Sometimes people don't think about that, but if you're, especially with all the rain, like Glenn was saying, we had this year, if your spring mulch went away, basically, and you're kind of getting low or down to dirt, I would really recommend doing a fall mulching, you know, and that helps protect the roots of the plants through the winter, and it helps regulate the moisture. So those are key, and then pruning certain things, you know. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, I know nut sedge this year has been the worst year ever.
I've heard that term multiple times on this show.
Yeah, that we've sold more nut sedge control than ever before, and it's the number one noxious weed in the state of Missouri for a reason. It's difficult to control. You're not going to control with any one application, and a lot of times you're not going to control in any one calendar year. Like I've said before, and I profess, the best defense against weeds isn't a bunch of chemicals. It's a good, thick lawn. So knowing your cultural practices and then actually utilizing the use of the correct cultural practices is really the best defense against weeds.
I like that strategy. I like the idea of a good, thick lawn. Also, you don't have to do as much, you know, in terms of you just let Mother Nature do its thing, and you don't have to necessarily spend too much time. You know,
well, we profess the use of organic fertilizers as much as possible, because when you improve the soil, you inadvertently create a much more sound environment for growth. And if the grass is thick and mowed properly, you'll do the most you can to choke out weeds. And so, you know, the use of herbicides goes way, way down.
And so, you said that your lawn, you mowed twice in 2 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't received really well at home. There was there were a few conversations about what the neighbors might think, but like I told my wife, said if the length of my lawn is our neighbor's problem, they got other problems. So it's really not a big deal.
Why did you do that, though? What was your thinking?
I don't have irrigation, and I have a real sunny part of the yard and a real shady part of the yard, and they looked okay. I had used a product called Hydrotane this year as kind of an experiment. It's a wetting agent, and I wanted to see how well the lawn held up, and it held up very well, and it wasn't growing. So a cool season lawn, when the soil temperature was well into the 80s, it's not normal, unless you're watering to prevent dormancy, to really expect any growth out of a cool season lawn when it's that hot. And so, you know, when I mowed, I think I collected like 2 bags of clippings the entire time. But back in April and May, I was collecting 5 and 6 bags of clippings. And I was trying to do the rule, which is removing 1/3 of the leaf blade with each mowing. And I didn't have any real growth there. So it looked a little leggy, and I had a few weeds here and there. But like I said, I try not to use many chemicals, and I hand pull as many weeds as I can. But I have a 3,000 square foot yard, so it's easy to do.
Well, I was going to say, if you live next door to Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company, an expert in lawn care, I think, you know, maybe just keep your mouth shut.
Actually, some of my guys' lawns look better than mine, and I actually help them take care of them. So, you know, it's the old saying, the cobbler's kids have no shoes. So doesn't always look the best.
That is Glenn Kramer from Robinson. Also, Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers here to answer your questions on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. We'll get to Mike and then Brent and then maybe you. with your question coming up on 104.1 FM KMOX. We're continuing in hour two of the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, and we have Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers, Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company answering your questions at 314-436-7900. We have a full bank of phones right now, guys. Great. Get ready. Mike's up next. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Hey, Mike. I've got about a 30-year-old bald cypress, and it's got a lot of these green balls, more than I've ever seen this year. Mm-hmm. And they're pulling the lower limbs down to where if you got hit in the head while you're mowing under them, yeah. But is it too late? Is it all right to start limbing up that tree?
Hey, Mike, on that bald cypress, you'd be okay to go ahead and do that right now. It's fine, you know.
I've seen the same phenomenon on sweet gums
yep,
this year.
Sweet gum balls are
loaded
thick.
On trees in wet April, maybe.
Yeah,
I just didn't want to get hit, knocked off the variety more.
Yeah. But, on that bald cypress, there shouldn't be any issue with doing that now.
Go get it, yeah.
You know, it's nice. I mean, I don't object to them, but they're just hanging mm-hmm. too low. One other question real quick. I've got some really pretty roses right now. And I know they say don't deadhead it after in July, but I was wanting to cut and bring some of them into the house. Is that a good idea, or just let them go dormant and let them let the petals fall off and winterize them?
Yeah, I think right now you'd be okay. I really do. That's my opinion. You know that. And then don't keep trimming them because they may want to bloom into October, you know, and really don't do that in October as we get closer to winter. Because when you trim them, what happens, they force out more growth, and then the new growth just isn't hardy enough to take any winter, you know, real bad winter cold.
Yeah, I just cut off up to five leaves.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate
the info. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for the call, Mike, at 314-436-7900. Brent, good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn.
Morning, guys. Thanks for the show.
Thanks.
I'm going to use some high-acid vinegar. It worked pretty good on a small patch of weeds. Are there consequences to that? It's not going to overflow and destroy neighbor's property or yard or anything?
No.
And then how do I get rid of trumpet vine? It's consuming my garage.
Ouch.
Thanks.
So the vinegar, it's a non-selective choice, so it will kill anything it lands on, including your desired weed or anything that's in proximity to it. So, but other than that, you know, short of pouring a ridiculous amount on, it's not going to flow into your neighbor's yard or even away from the spot you spray it. And as far as trumpet vine, I would try to cut it at the base and let it die, and then when it dies, pull it off whatever it's growing up. If you try to pull that off when it's fully healthy, you might pull off whatever it's attached to. So cutting it off at the base and then treating it with like a Tourdon product, which we talk about on this show quite a bit, and you can treat the cut right at the ground level without killing anything else, and that should help prevent the regrowth of that trumpet vine, but it also might take a couple of swipes because that's a pretty healthy growing plant or vine. So be prepared to not be totally successful with one application, but maybe two or three.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Brent. Up next, let's say hello to Mel. Good morning, Mel.
Yeah. Crabgrass has taken over my lawn. Mm-hmm. And I haven't treated it. Is there anything I can do now to the crabgrass?
Yeah, you can spray it with a product that has an active ingredient called quinclorac, and there's another product out there called miso that would kill crabgrass as a post-emergent. It'll take about, I don't know, 10 to 14 days, and then if you aerate and overseed afterwards, you'll thicken up the lawn. But the best way to stop crabgrass is with, again, reading a label, identifying your square footage and how much product you're buying and the active ingredient, and applying that in late March or early April. You know, again, I'm a fan of mowing the lawn twice in the spring, cleaning it up, and then putting out the single rate of pre-emergent.
So it's going to come back like crazy next year because the seeds have already been spread already, Mel. So be prepared for whatever you had this year to double next year if you do nothing. But you can spray it and then try to thicken up the lawn. And again, you'll use less pre-emergent every year if you have a good, healthy lawn and you mow properly.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks for the question. We appreciate the call at 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Glenn and Jeff answering your calls. And Clara is up next. Good morning, Clara.
Good morning. I have a weed problem with nettle. We brought it in with some wild flower seed, and it's at different places. And unfortunately, it's near like my peony. I have bushes and things like that. But how can we get rid of the nettle? It's everywhere.
It's going to be hard to do that and not hurt your desirable plants. And so there's you can pull it and try to control it that way. You can also
wear gloves.
Yeah. Some people put on like a latex glove and then put on a cloth glove and dip their fingertips in a Roundup like herbicide and just touch the weeds you're trying to control. If it's a calm day and you feel like you can spot spray those weeds with like that vinegar product that gentleman was just talking about, any non-selective herbicide that you can control very carefully and not on a windy day or without any runoff on the young version of the nettle, you might have control. Mm-hmm. But selectively in a wildflower area or a perennial bed, I don't think there is a selective herbicide that you could use that would kill that and not hurt your desirable plant. So
okay, yes, we have pulled near the peonies. We a large bag of nettle, mm-hmm. but it's up again. So yeah. I guess that's the best way to get rid of it.
It's the safest way, that's for sure. It makes the most sense, right. So you don't hurt your good stuff. Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing we can spray.
Yeah. Just think of it as exercise.
I don't need that. I'm 94.
Oh wow. Congratulations.
94.
Just live with the weeds and the peonies and maybe everybody's happy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Claire. We appreciate it. 94 years young. How about that? Oh
man, I hope I have that energy.
Yeah. Sounds like she's hired.
Yeah. That's awesome.
My grandmother still does gardening work and she's 101.
Wow.
Jim, you're up next on the Garden Hotline. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, I got two questions. One is the overseeding. When should you do that, and should I water the ground first before I have them do it?
Yeah, you want to soften up the ground before you get core aeration or slit seeding done. You don't want it muddy. You don't want to probably water the morning of the aeration because then it'll just be mud clods everywhere. But yeah, you should do that now, and you should want to water before a couple of days so you soften up the lawn because every lawn is bone dry. And then after the seed is done, that's when you'll water every day for 10 or 15 minutes, whatever it takes, as long as you're just keeping the top quarter to half inch moist. And sometimes you might have to water twice a day depending on how much wind and what your percolation rate is like in your soil. And there's a lot of variables, but you're just trying to keep that top quarter to half inch moist because that's what seed needs to germinate. Healthy seed needs soil temperature and moisture to germinate. It doesn't need sunlight. So make sure your seed's covered up and in the soil. And if the growing point's in the soil and the leaves die off, the growing point will send out new leaves eventually when the water returns and the cool weather returns this fall.
And also, if I plant a peach tree now, how long before it would have a fruit?
Peach tree, huh? Yeah. 3 or 4 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to do it the very next year or anything, but I see smaller ones a lot that do have small, amount of fruit on them. So yeah. I think they're pretty quick, really, to set fruit.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. The number to call for the last segment, which is coming up in a moment, 314-436-7900. We'll get to the final phone calls with Jeff and Glenn on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hotline with Jeff and Glenn answering your questions. One call leads to another. Up next is Bob. Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have a question about sod. I have a company coming out the first week of October, and they're going to re-slope my entire yard with about 5 truckloads of dirt. Mm-hmm. And they've recommended that I bring in a pallet of sod behind that. Is it too late in the year to put sod down, and will it establish itself before winter comes on?
Oh, sure. Yeah, if it's warm, if the sod company is cutting sod, then it'll root in. We're a strong proponent of doing things underneath the sod, but instead of on top of the sod. There's a product called M-Roots or Earthworks Rejuvenate 333 with mycorrhiza. If you put that on your soil and then put sod on top of it, you have a better chance of it rooting in. If it's sloping, hopefully the sod will be pinned in with some staples so it doesn't slide. But you'll have to have water because you're going to remember all the roots are back in the sod farm. And the only way to make roots is with water. So even in October, you will want to water that sod every day for at least 10 or 15 minutes. And depending on how much rain, sun it gets or wind you have, you might have to water it again in the evening. So it'll be critical you do that for at least the first 14 days. And you probably won't mow that for about 2 or 3 weeks. But, yeah, no, October is plenty of time for sod work. Yeah.
Good month for sodding. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
That all right. All I had. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. Good luck, Bob, for calling in. Mary Beth is up next. Good morning, Mary Beth. You're on with Jeff and Glenn.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Couple of questions. Is it too late to prune back boxwoods, crepe myrtle, and rose of Sharon?
Okay, Mary, let's see. The boxwoods, it'd be best to do it pretty quick, you know, because the only concern would be that if we do it too late and they flush out some growth, then that's not hardy for the winter temperatures, you know. So sooner the better, you know, on that.
Okay.
Yeah. And Rose of Sharon, that blooms on new wood. So that should be okay if you want to trim that now or early next spring. Crepe myrtle, you're not probably going to hurt it. Obviously, some of them are still blooming, you know, quite well. I don't know. You know, that does depend on the variety. But, they can be trimmed. I personally have had better luck trimming them in the late winter, early spring. You know, and I like to actually wait and make sure where they're going to leaf out, you know, next next spring before I trim them. That's my opinion.
Okay, I can hold back on those, actually. And one other question. We have a peach tree that just went wild growing up. Can you top out a peach tree without doing any harm, or are we going to have to just let it go?
Yeah, I mean, structurally, I'm not, you know, looking at the tree or anything, but if you got like an oddball shoot going up, like it sounds like that's what you're describing, no, you should be able to cut that back. You know, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary Beth.
Thanks, Mary Beth, for the phone call. Let's go next to Debbie. You are on the Garden Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey. I have two quick questions. What is a follow-up? What was the product you said to put underneath your sod?
It's a product called M-Roots or something with mycorrhiza. There's an Earthworks product that's a 333 called Renovate, and it it'll help sod root in. There's a lot of versions of it. You don't have to get that exact same formula. There's a lot of stores have those options.
What about the C20, I think, helps down the road a lot.
Yeah, C20 is not bad, but it's not a fertilizer.
No,
it complements the mycorrhiza. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
The mycorrhiza, right. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. And then this is another follow-up. And, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. But the vinegar, what does it do to the soil? It kills the...
Well, with any luck, you're applying vinegar properly. It's not a soil-absorbed product. It's a leaf-absorbed product. So
gotcha.
Vinegar by itself, if you read the label and follow the directions, it does nothing to the soil because you will know how to apply it properly. It only hurts the soil if you don't apply it properly. So it's not the vinegar that does the harm. It's the misapplication that does the harm. And you just might prevent anything from growing there for a while, but if you apply it properly to the leaves and only burn off the leaves that you're trying to control, it has little to no effect on the soil whatsoever.
I love that. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks for the phone call. Your questions to Jeff and Glenn. Randy is up next.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have had a wild Bermuda grass coming into my yard from another person's yard and over the last several years, and it just keeps growing and growing. I talked to our company that does the fertilizer applications for the yard, and they said the only thing you can do is kill the whole thing off and reseed. Is there anything else that a person could do to save the grass that's there?
Yeah, Randy, they're half right. That's the non-selective way, is to kill everything. But there's a selective herbicide called Pylex, P-Y-L-E-X, easy to spell today.
Okay.
That is a selective way to control Bermuda, but one, it's not quick, and two, it's not cheap. And so you have to have a company that knows that it takes two applications in the fall, and an application in the spring, and it might even take another application the following fall. But I jokingly, when I teach my class on turf grass, I call Bermuda the king, because the only thing that stops it is shade, and it just it will just keep going no matter what. But
yeah,
talk to a company that knows what they're doing about a product called Pylex, and they will tell you what that costs and what the consequence of that decision is, because it's a slow process, but it works.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. That's very, very helpful.
Good luck, thank Randy. You.
Thank you, Randy, and we're glad to help. Jeff and Glenn, good job, guys. Another good show. We appreciate you coming in. We appreciate your time, as always. And if we didn't get to your phone call, hopefully you can call in next week, and we'll get your question answered. The Garden Hotline, next Saturday morning from 8 to 10 on 104.1 FM KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks to James O'Sullivan producing the show. And thanks once again, guys, for answering those questions.
Yeah. Great to be here. Yeah.
Thank you. Everybody, good luck with your shoulder recovery
thank
there.
You. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.